The sermon text for this, the celebration of the festival of the Reformation, is from our epistle reading today. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter. Amen. So the constitution of our congregation states that it is, Zion's Confession of Faith is stated as the Augsburg Confession, a document presented and read to His Imperial Majesty Charles V in the year 1530. And this is the confession that is a public declaration of the faith of the Lutheran Church. Our Constitution then declares that Zion Lutheran Church and all its members as individuals declare unreserved acceptance to and adherence to all of the canonical books of the Old and New Testament as the inspired and revealed Word of God, as the only rule and norm of faith, to all the symbolical books of the Evangelical Lutheran Church as contained into the Book of Concord, the year 1580, as true and sound exposition of the Word of God. These symbolical books are the ecumenical creeds, namely the Apostolic Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed, the unaltered Augsburg Confession, the defense of the Augsburg Confession, the small called articles, Luther's large catechism, Luther's small catechism, and the formula of Concord. This congregation also subscribes to the brief statement of the doctrinal position of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod of the year 1932. And so today on the Festival of the Reformation, we zero in on Article 4 of the Augsburg Confession, which is justification. It's important for us to understand this precisely because the Holy Spirit inspired St. Paul to write the words, "We hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." What then is justification? Article 4 of the Augsburg Confession states, "It is taught among us that we cannot obtain the forgiveness of sins and righteousness before God by our own merits, works, or satisfactions, but that we receive the forgiveness of sins and become righteous before God by grace, for Christ's sake, through faith, when we believe that Christ suffered for us and that for His sake our sin is forgiven and righteousness and eternal life are given to us, for God will reckon and regard this faith as righteousness." Just as St. Paul writes in our epistle reading for today, and also for Romans chapter 4, verse 5, which states, "And to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." The teaching of how we human beings as sinners can stand before and receive the eternal life from a holy and righteous God is the gospel. It is the good news of the church. The good news to sinful and rebellious creatures is that their sins are forgiven. They are declared innocent in the sight of God because of the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God's own Son, a work that He has done on our behalf. Now, while the gospel can be understood in several varieties of ways, such as the portion of the scripture that tells of the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, called the gospels. Why are they called gospels? Because they were written for the express purpose of telling how God provided salvation to humans in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And less broadly, the gospel is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ to rescue us from our sin and to make us holy in His sight. God declares us righteous in His sight. He has the power and the authority to do such a thing. It is just as at creation, God said, "Let there be light," and it was so. In the same way, God declares us righteous in Christ. And to top it all off, through the work of the Holy Spirit, God creates faith in the heart of the sinner. And it is so. The problem is that sin is not just a bad thing that we do. Sin, original sin and actual sin, really and truly does anger God and personally offends Him. He demands payment for this sin so that His wrath may be turned away from us. then the good news is just what God has done for us in Christ Jesus to solve this very problem that all of humanity faces. The result of the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ and the innocent death that he did and he died is that God's wrath is turned away from us and that he looks with us upon us with his favor. The doctrine of justification is the gospel, that sinners are holy before God by grace for Christ's sake through faith alone, apart from the works of the law. So then we do not work for our salvation. Our salvation is given to us as a free gift. The good news then is not only given to us in words, but it is also given to us in the sacraments. Word and sacraments are the means through which God delivers to us the work of Jesus Christ and the means through which he creates faith in us. The gospel not only tells, but works and creates the very faith it proclaims. So it is very vital for us then that we do not see or understand baptism and communion as mere ordinances or symbols of Christ. To say that baptism and communion are what we do as marks of our commitment to Christ would be to misrepresent the words of Christ. We are not made holy by what we do. Instead, we are made holy by what God has done for us. If what we do could save us, then if we could do faith all on our own, then what use is Christ? Perhaps other than a really good example for us to follow. We would never, never reduce the work of Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God, then, to a mere example. The Confessors wrote, quoting St. Augustine, "If natural capacity, with the help of a free will, is sufficient in itself for both discovering how one ought to live and also for leading a holy Christ, holy life, then Christ died to no purpose." If it was possible, then, to give one's heart to Jesus or to decide to follow Jesus, then what do we need Jesus for, since we would be able to do the law on our own and be able to fulfill the law's demands all by ourselves? In doing so, the stumbling block of the cross would be removed and we would seek to appear before the throne of God, not in Christ's righteousness, but in our own righteousness. As St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 11, "If it is by works, then it is no longer by grace." Heaven forbid we fall into that stumbling block, that pit. Instead, we believe, teach, and confess that when a person believes that their sins are forgiven because of Christ and that God is reconciled to them and looks upon them with favor because of Jesus, this personal faith obtains the forgiveness of sins and justifies us, makes us righteous in the sight of God. To have faith, then, means to want and to accept the promised offer of faith in the forgiveness of sins and justification. It is by faith that God wants to be worshipped. That is, that we receive from God what he promises and he offers to us. So we believe that Christ was born, Christ suffered, Christ died, Christ was raised again for the forgiveness of sins, all sins of all people, and that means all your sins are forgiven, and Christ has died and risen again for you. God made the promise is free, and the work of Christ is the payment and the promise for sins, the payment and the promise. Faith does not make us holy or save us because it is a good work. It does not make us holy or save us because it is our part of the deal, so to speak. It saves because it accepts the promised mercy of God. Faith is the work of the Holy Spirit that results in us and trusts in the mercy of God and in Christ Jesus. We believe in the justification of the sinner by grace through faith on account of Christ. And this is the doctrine on which the church stands or falls. Lose this teaching and the gospel is lost. Retain this teaching of how we are made righteous before God, and God in his Christ is glorified and magnified. And then we have the certainty, the absolute 100% certainty of God's mercy, his forgiveness, and the eternal life that he gives to us. So God grant it unto us that the right teaching of the justification of the sinner before God never depart from our congregation, our synod, and the church at large. We ask and pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.